I'm going to welcome the online people, those of you that are joining us online. Man, we're so glad that you're here with us, online and on campus. We are going to celebrate what God has done over the last 10 years since Josie and I got here. And some people might be like, I'm noticing a lot of first-time visitors. And I'm like, hey, welcome. This is going to be a weird service for you to visit a church. But I don't know, maybe it's a great service because you're going to hear what God has done for the last 10 years. So you might wonder, dude, why are you taking a whole Sunday to do that? What we're about to do is actually quite biblical. When the Lord brought the Jewish people up from their slavery in Egypt through the desert and they crossed the Jordan River, God did for the Jordan River the same thing he did at the Red Sea. He parted it, he separated, and he allowed all the nation of Israel to travel through the Jordan River on dry land. But then before the water came back, the Lord told the people of Israel, take 12 stones out of where the Jordan River flows and pile them up on the shore. Make a memorial, make an altar so that people can always remember what the Lord did. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 20. It was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up the 12 stones taken from the Jordan River. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future, your children are going to say, hey, why'd you guys pile up all these rocks? Then you're going to tell them, this is the place where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before our eyes, and he kept it dry until everybody was across, just like he did at the Red Sea. So today, we're going to look at what God has done over the last 10 years. We're going to make a pile of rocks and celebrate what the Lord has done.
And this is our story. That's what we named this message, is our story. Because it's not Brad and my story, it's your story. It's all of our story. If you look at the nation of Israel, they still celebrate today and look back and remember that God brought them out of Egypt, because it's their story together as the Jewish people. So the story of what God has done at Uncommon Church is your story. And for some of you, you've joined us later, and we want you to know what God did before you came. Kind of like we talk about, you know, my grandpa did this or whatever, because it's your family story. We're a family, and so this is our story.
And it actually starts more than 10 years ago. It started 12 years ago. Josie and I were associate pastors of a larger church in New Mexico, and we were missionaries before that. We always had a heart for the nations. We traveled to like 45 nations around the world preaching the gospel. We never thought we'd pastor a church, at least not a church in America. Why does America need another church? They've got bazillions of churches. Why does Dallas, Texas need another church? Like, there's a million great churches. So we were never going to come here and pastor. But about 12 years ago, the Lord began to speak to our hearts that we would pastor.
Yeah, so we sat down, literally, we were in one of our prayer times, and we thought after we were done with our season in New Mexico that we would move overseas again. And instead, Brad turns to me and he said, listen, I want to tell you something. It might come as a shock, but I feel like God is going to have us pastor a church when we're done here. And I was like, I didn't want to tell you, but that's what I felt too. And so we knew that God was doing something, turning the story of our lives. And again, we didn't know where that was going to be, but we started to pray into that.
So, and then that was 12 years ago. 11 years ago, I met the guy that started this church originally, a guy named Kevin Eldridge, and he's from New Mexico, and he was back visiting our church, and he was backstage. I shook his hand in the green room, and that was it. Just shook his hand, and then that night, I had a dream, a prophetic dream. I don't dream prophetically. Like, this is like never, ever. But I had a very, very, very clear, vivid dream that we were going to move our family to DFW and take over the church of the guy whose hand I had shaken. I didn't know anything about Kevin or about the church. I didn't know if it was 5 people or 5,000 people. I just knew that we were going to come here to DFW one day and pastor.
And he woke up and he told me that dream, and I was like, you had bad tacos. That's never going to happen. First of all, we don't know him. Why would he ask us to take his church? Second of all, Texas does not need another church. If he doesn't want his church, they should close the doors. Like, plus it's hot. I don't want to move to Texas. God would never. And little did I know that God knew better. So exactly a year later, pretty much, almost to the day, what happened was Kevin called his friend, who was our pastor, and said, I need to step down. I'm looking for somebody to take our church. I don't have anybody to replace me. Could you send someone? And our pastor came and asked if we would go. And I mean, I was shocked, really shocked. I was like, I cannot believe it. You did have a prophetic dream. It was his one and only. It wasn't like he had a track record of prophetic dreams. So,
did you get what just happened there? I can't believe you heard from God. That was what she said.
In a dream, you hear from God all sorts of other ways. But yeah, that is exactly what happened. And because of the dream, we even paid attention to it. I think otherwise we would have just said, no, that's not for us. But yeah, so 10 years ago. Yeah,
10 years ago, we prayed. We had three or four other very clear prophetic words and signs that God was moving here. Kevin was stepping down. We flew out for a visit where we preached on a weekend like in November or early December. And I was just kind of meeting the board and meeting some of the key leaders. And one of the very first people we met was Marshall Garner, and he wore this T-shirt.
This was our welcome to Texas. Like, hi, I heard our new pastor's name is Brad, so I wore this for you. They're like, wow.
No, he claims that this is some indie band in Toronto. I think he had the shirt made up just for me.
But our whole family, we waited till the kids were done with their fall semester, and we moved here Christmas break 10 years ago on December 18th. It was Jordana's birthday, and we drove all our things and unpacked on a Saturday night. They got out of school on Friday, and then Sunday morning was our first service on December 19th.
So we started out in the building there in Nutmeg Lane. By the way, I forgot this picture was in there. If you're wondering why I shaved my head, this was towards the end of the first year when everything was failing. The church was failing. There was no money. There was no people. There was no momentum. And I just took a vow before God, and I fasted for 40 days, and I shaved my head, and I sought the Lord. And ironically, we'll tell some of that story in a minute, but things began to turn around. But we were in this little building up on the north side of Euless, right where Euless meets Grapevine by Glade Road. It was set back in a neighborhood. The church before had just recently bought that and remodeled it. So we moved in there, and we started kind of slow. And, we did the best we could with what we could. But I knew that I always wanted to lead people to Jesus. That's always been on my heart, to lead people to. Every church has different things in their culture. Leading people to Jesus was part of my thing. So in January of 10 years ago, one of the first messages I did, I led people to Jesus. I gave an altar call, and like nobody's hands went up. The church only had about 30, 40 people in it. But right here on my right-hand side, John Pryor did one of these numbers. And at first, I thought it was like a pity, you know, like, oh, well, if nobody wants to give their heart to Jesus, I'll do it for you, Pastor. You know, you're new. I want you to feel good. I didn't know, but that was when John was giving his life to the Lord. And we prayed with John. And then the fun thing was we got to baptize John and Renee Pryor, and just see all that God did. Now, we didn't have a baptistry, so we had to use a kiddie pool and blow it up, but right there in the sanctuary. But it was just so fun to see God begin to move, even in a small way.
Yeah, so from the very beginning, you know, the Pryors are still part of our church, and they're just such pillars of faith. And it's so neat to look back that 10 years ago is when he raised his hands and decided to follow Jesus. I also wanted to show a picture of our first beloved for all you ladies that was here. You were here at our latest one. We were just a little Bible study in living room.
Why does that look terrible? Were we taking pictures on a potato back then?
We really needed the media team and Satara to help us out. But that's the only picture I have. And that was just the very beginning of women coming together for community and finding Jesus. And so that was that. And then we had a picture of our very first Christmas, which was, this was the extent of the program. As you can see, our kids made up two of the choir. And then we have the Pryors made up two of the choir. And
there's Elijah Dodson in the middle.
Yes, and Dodson. So, and that was it. That was our special. And it was wonderful. Jordana sang in German. And then we wished everybody a Merry Christmas and sent them home. So comparing that for looking at next Saturday and what God has done, I just wanted to show the contrast to you guys. So,
and I don't know if you guys noticed, but there was a guy that joined our worship team 9.5 years ago. We called him Baby Jeff in those pictures. But that's when Jeff Carrico joined our church and started leading worship. No, that's not it. You already had the picture. But that's fine. Because that makes me have to fast forward. So long story short, that building, we couldn't afford. The church was only about 30 or 40 people, and they had borrowed like $1.5 million to remodel that church. And every single month, we couldn't afford the mortgage payment. We couldn't keep up with the payments on the building. And we were praying and asking God what to do. We were on our knees, I mean, many, many sleepless nights trying to make the numbers work. And it just didn't work. So we were there for 1 year, and then we put the building on the market, and thank God it sold. But then we didn't have a church building, so we went mobile. And we met at Grapevine Elementary School. We got a big trailer, and we put everything in a trailer, and we had to set up and tear down every single Sunday. And we're so grateful. Our church wasn't very big. We didn't have a lot of volunteers, but for the people that set up and tore down every single week at Grapevine, man, it meant the world, because we had to turn an elementary school cafeteria into a worship center every single week. Oh, I don't know why my voice went so high. But
it was
that
really
was
nightmares
exhausting.
Thinking about yeah. that. It was exhausting. We didn't have our dream teams, but everybody in the church really helped out. It was a community effort to make that a house of prayer every Sunday. And, you know, and Jeff's first Sunday, look there, the Pryors still serving today. I mean, it's amazing to see what God has done. But one of the couples that gave their hearts to Jesus while we were at the elementary school that are still here with us today are Albert and Aaron. I remember clearly the Sunday that Brad and I, yeah, give a hand for them. Brad and I were the greeters back then, so we were welcoming people to church, and we met Albert and Aaron, and then after church, we heard some of their story, and Aaron said, yeah, last night, I told my husband, I said, we're going to hell, and I'm going to find us a church, and we're going to church today, and so they had been raised in church, walked away from their faith, and they came, and they never missed a Sunday since. Like, you know how people come and visit, and you think, like, I don't know, they raised their hand, but are they really going to stick? They did, and now, as you know, Albert is our men's pastor. They're the head ushers for many years. Aaron does our announcements. Like, look what God has done.
Hey, can you go back to the picture of Jeff and I in overdressed for church? And here's the funny thing. So Jeff was obviously a baby. I think he was in our youth group at the time. And he was starting to lead worship. And Joyce Smith, who Joyce is now 88 years old, she was in first service sitting right over here. So 10 years ago, she would have been 78 years old. She came up and she put her hand on my shoulder and she said, I have a prophetic word for you. I'm like, okay, that's nice. And she said, you and that tall guy leading worship. Wait, by the way, how am I taller than you in that picture?
He was kneeling.
No, I don't. That's just terrible. He was kneeling? Did you just say that? Josie's got some sharp barbs of tongue on me today. Anyway, so she said, you two guys are going to do amazing things for God. Many, many, many years you're going to work together. And honestly, I wasn't sure if people would show up from one Sunday to the next. So to have a word like that, I wasn't sure what to believe. Like, I hope so. But now, I mean, it's been 9.5 years later, and Jeff is the executive pastor of our church and our worship leader and a member of our legal board. I mean, he's just such a huge key in our life that I love when God just crashes people together like that. So we met at Grapevine Elementary School for 1 year, but at the end of the year, the Grapevine Public Schools, Grapevine Colleyville, they were asking if we wanted to renew our contract for another year. And I prayed about it, and the Lord said no. And I'm like, whoa. So what does that mean? Where are we going to go? I mean, we weren't a big church, but, you know, we had 70 or 80 people that had to worship somewhere.
I remember that because that was in December, and we had just assumed we'd sign back on, and now we just had a few weeks to find a building to meet in, and it was too many people for our little living room, so we were like, okay, God, what? Help us.
Oh, is that is my turn?
Yeah, that's your turn. You told that in first service. Go ahead.
She just hit me everything. She's feeling herself a little bit. So, So in January of 2013, I reached out to Jeff's dad, who is the bishop of East Texas for the Pentecostal Church of God. And I said, hey, you guys still have that little building in South Euless, right? Can we borrow it, rent it, buy it, steal it? And he said, well, the only way you guys could use it is if you join the PCG. And I said, okay, what's the PCG and where do I sign? So our church joined the Pentecostal Church of God, and I got my ordination there, and we started meeting in a little building on the south side of Euless that we affectionately called the Crack House, because it was a falling down building that smelled like cat pee. It had no parking lot, just grass and gravel for the parking lot, and it needed a lot of work.
And Christy reminded me after first service that we literally did pick up crack needles and stuff. Like, there was a reason why that name came to be. So our amazing...
I love that she doesn't know how crack is ingested into the body, and she called it a crack needle.
What is the needle? She said she picked up a needle.
Heroin uses needles and pipes with her crack, but that's never here nor there. So she's so saved. She doesn't even know how to do drugs.
I can't recover from this. We were picking up needles. I guess that's nothing to do with the crack house. But there was our signage, and I'm very grateful that we have a better sign. But I wanted to show the pictures of people helping make that building. So basically, we started painting and doing whatever we could, fixing windows, and God started to move in that little house. Or building, really. People started getting born again. We had more people added to our worship team. There were 99 chairs in total, front to back, and we had to go to 2 services. There's so many of you that are here today that were added to our number during our 2 years there, and it was such a special time. Again, we saw people give their hearts to Jesus. We saw baptisms. We didn't have a baptismal, so we did it at the lake, which was a really fun time. So, yeah, and Beloved continued to grow, and one of the couples that was added during that time was the Winninghams.
So the Winninghams, I alluded to that story earlier, and we actually told it in a service a month ago, but Christy grew up in church and had drifted away and wasn't in church, and they had their son, Cade, and she said, no, I am raising my son in the church. So she told Dwayne, she's like, listen, I know I haven't been like a super churchy girl, but I'm going to go to church. And he's like, you're an idiot. And he began to cuss her out for going to church when she would pack up the baby and drive to church. So she was coming to that little fallen down building that smelled like cat pee with 99 chairs. And every Sunday morning, he'd cuss her out and call her an idiot. And she would tell us, hey, can you please be praying for my husband? I believe God wants to see him get born again, but he just, his heart is so hard to the Lord. So we began to pray. Now, I'm going to be honest. Like, I started to love Christy, and I'm like, I don't like this man, this mean man that would cuss out our good friend and her little sweet baby boy coming to church every week. But then I can't remember if it was Christmas or Easter or what occasion, but all of a sudden there's like a guy sitting in church with Christy holding hands, and we're like, oh, that's her husband, and he's here visiting church. And then he came back the next week and the next week. And then one Sunday, I'm given the altar call and I see this guy. Like, you know how you're supposed to like look spiritual and close your eyes? No. Dwayne is like staring right at me as he gives his heart to Jesus. And got serious, radically saved. And obviously now is, you know, one of our head ushers and is an amazing man of God. Look what the Lord has done in just a few years. Come on, somebody.
That's the stone of remembrance. You know, the people in this church are our stones of remembrance. And so we filled up that building. We were at two services, and we started asking God, which for us was a big prayer. We need another building. Like, this is becoming too small. We're very grateful for it. And now we need a miracle again.
So they've been there about 2 years, and I was at a pastor's conference. And you guys remember our friend Luke Holter? He was speaking at that conference, and I met Luke for the first time. And he prayed for us, for Josie and I. And he said, the Lord said, you have been faithful with little, so I'm going to give you much. And we're like, oh, what does that mean? And then Luke literally said, I think that means he's going to give you a building. I'm like, well, we have been faithful with a little building. Lord, we receive a bigger building. The very next morning, I get a phone call from my good friend, Pastor Catherine, who was pastoring Open Door Church up in Grapevine. And she says, hey, the Lord spoke to me. Our churches are supposed to merge, and you guys move to Grapevine and take over our building. Now, I don't know if you know Catherine very well, but she's crazy. And like, she's from the deep end of the Holy Ghost pool. And like, I said, Catherine, no. I love you. We're good friends. We could never work together. Like, and our church is way too different than yours. And I'd freak all your people out. Like, just the answer is no. And she's like, will you pray about it? And I said, no. And I hung the phone. So I told Josie, I said, hey, Catherine called. She wants us to join the church and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and she's like, what did you say? I'm like, heck no. So then the next morning, Catherine calls again, Tuesday morning. Hey, have you prayed about it? I'm like, Catherine, I wasn't kidding. No, I'm not going to pray about it. We're not going to merge churches. We're not going to come together. You and I are never going to work together. I love you, but I would kill you. And you would kill me. You know, like, no. So to make a long story, obviously longer, she said, would you pray about it? I said, yes. Josie and I got together, and we were like, dear Lord, do you want, oh, no, we're supposed to join churches with Catherine and take our whole church up to Grapevine and move into the Timberline building, and it was amazing.
It truly was. So this is the Timberline building that we began leasing, and our two churches merged and came together. And what God did was truly, he blended a lot of new believers, people that had just given their heart to Jesus, with mature believers that were able to disciple and carry the thing in prayer and become the other half of what we were needing for what God was going to do.
Yeah, it was so great because, you know, you can't have a bunch of sheep without more shepherds. So adding all these mature believers really helped our church grow stronger. You know, we don't just want to win people to Jesus. We want to make sure they stay attached to Jesus. So having all of these mature people help us to lead groups and lead in prayer. But you know what else it did? Our church was always very generous. We always gave way more money than we could afford to give to missions and to the poor and doing outreach and things like that. But when you add in a bunch of seasoned veteran people whose faith was rock solid in their giving, our financial giving went up considerably. And we were like, wow, wait a second, we can actually do something. Like, instead of just making this little, you know, drop. We could put a splash in doing things for Jesus. So all of having them join, it was such a key for the growth of our church, which then, once the church started to grow a little bit, we instituted the growth track to give some structure to how we would grow. And we did something back then we called defining the win. See, every sports team knows what the win is. You know, by the time the clock goes off, you better have more points on the board than the other team. Well, our church had never really clearly defined what our win was. See, every church has a different win. Some churches, their win is the kids ministry. Some churches, it's mission. Some it's outreach. Some it's Bible teaching or theology. Others is, for us, was going to be, we're going to win souls. Like, we're going to make sure that people are introduced to Jesus for the first time or the first time in a long time. So we clearly defined our win, and then people began to get saved, and we needed some structure to help to hold all that together.
So that's when we instituted the growth track. It's when we had our first official volunteer teams. I mean, the whole church had always helped serve. You saw pictures again of people painting and just putting their hand to what God was doing. But I think it was the welcome team that we started first. Yeah, so that was like parking lot and stuff. And it's amazing what God did by just putting a little bit of structure to allowing people to serve within their gifting. And again, we saw people get born again. We held baptisms. Things started to grow again, and so we went to two services in that building, and we thought, okay, this gives us a lot of breathing room. We can be here a long time. Let's launch two services. And then, like, 2 weeks later, our landlord called a meeting, and he said, listen, I just want y'all to know that this building has been sold, and you need to get out in 3 months.
We were like, wait, what? You want to run that by me one more time? Because, yeah, we had some momentum, and we had a little tiny bit of money, but we didn't have, like, credit history. Like, we couldn't go get a loan and, like, buy anything. Like, we were in a pickle. We were in a real, real pickle.
And can I say this? We had rented this building a year prior to hold a beloved service, a conference, because we didn't have room enough for it. And somebody, one of our ladies was standing in the back.
It was Jan Reed who's sitting right back there praying for the future of whatever this church is going to have.
Jan Reed was sitting in the back, and she came and she said, I had a word that we're going to buy this building, and this is going to be ours. And we're like, okay, no. She had like way more faith than we did. But that happened, and that same weekend, somebody gave us $20 to start a building fund. So Brad and I took the $20, we prayed over it, went to the bank, started a bank account, opened a bank account, believing God for a building in the future. We were thinking like 10 years later or something. And then this happened where we had to move suddenly. And long story short, that $20 had grown to where it could be the down payment. And Brad called our friend who was pastoring here and said, do you know of any church buildings that are empty right now? And he said, no, but as a matter of fact, I think you should take our building. And God did a miracle. We had no credit history as a church. The fact that we got approved for a loan, the fact that we had a down payment, the fact that this whole campus, I mean, it's way more than we needed. We were believing God for 10,000 square foot building, and we got 70,000. Like, it was just over and above. And again, it was just a suddenly work. We had 1 week to kind of renovate before we moved in. And again, all of you guys pitched in, and we started remodeling. We put paint and new ceiling tiles. So here was the infamous week in July of, was it 2016? June 2017, there was a week of crazy work from all of our people. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, people would come before work and work, and then they'd go to work and come back after work. And I can't imagine how many thousands of man hours the whole church pitched in to, I mean, we couldn't afford to, like, remodel, but we put some lipstick on the pig, you know, like, we kind of updated the best we could. The funny thing, Ennis was in first service this morning. If you know Ennis, he's a white-collar guy. He's kind of quiet and reserved. And at this time, he was working for the city of Fort Worth, but he went to town tearing down that wall. And I'm like, this is what government employees need, is just to blow off steam sometimes and tear down a wall once in a while.
Yeah, there was a baptismal over here and, like, choir risers and brass section things over here. So there was a lot of stuff. But I also want you to know that God did miracles with us being donated. All these ceiling tiles, all the paint for the outside of the building and the inside of the building was donated. Somebody gave money for the outside to be painted, like for a work crew to come. It was like building the tabernacle in the Old Testament. You know, people just gave both of working and financially.
And I mean, I don't need to tell you this. In the last 3 years, our church has more than doubled since coming here. And so many people have given their heart to Jesus. And we're just so very excited and grateful for what God has done. So that brings us to January of this year, January of 2020. We changed the name from New Life, and we felt that God had called us to be an uncommon church, so we changed the name to Uncommon, and then we had an uncommon March. And then 2020 happened, and it was like, you know, I mean, God knew. God wasn't freaking out. But it just really reminded us that no matter what, our win will stay the same. And that is, we want to see people get born again and give their heart to Jesus, either for the first time. In fact, I want to ask you, if in the last 10 years at our church, if you gave your heart to Jesus for the first time or you rededicated your life to the Lord, would you stand up real quick? I just want to see who you are. There's a ton of people. Come on, somebody. Yay, God. 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 Come on. So no matter what happens for the future, that's always going to be our number one win, is we want to introduce people to Jesus. And sometimes it's a reintroduction because they got introduced under the form of religion or under the form of shame. And we want to introduce people that God loves them so much and he's not mad at them, which is, you know, what, of course, Easter and Christmas is all about. So I just want to talk a little bit about some of the core things in our culture. If you'll notice, in 2020, we haven't been able to take any mission trips, which is really weird for us because we started taking mission trips early on. When we couldn't afford a mission trip, we started going to Moldova and bringing firewood to widows in Moldova. And we took food to kids in orphanages in Mexico. And we did street outreach in India and worked with girls that had been sex trafficked. And we worked in Cambodia and in Haiti and all over the world. It's always been a part of our DNA is to love the nations. And it's been such a privilege to introduce people in our church to the nations. And we want to continue to do everything we can to see the light of Jesus shine bright all over the world. We're not quite sure what that's going to look like, but as soon as we can, we're going to put, you know, some butts in some airplane seats and get you overseas and get you loving on people in world missions again.
Yeah, because what we don't want to do is get too comfortable just because now we have a nice little building and, you know, life is tough in 2020, so we don't care about the rest of the world anymore. So we want to make sure we still lift our eyes and look at the harvest and let God take us wherever there is a need so that we can meet it, whether that is here in our community or around the world. And we also want to look to the future. Like, that was 10 years, and let that build our faith and see what God has for us for the next 10 years.
So, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, and you look at the Apostle Paul's ministry. He started these amazing churches all over the known world, all around the Mediterranean, and you know, thousands of people put their faith in Jesus and all these signs and wonders and miracles. But there was something interesting towards the end of Paul's ministry. He said this in Philippians chapter 3. He said, "Brothers and sisters, I've not yet achieved it because I'm focused on one thing. I forget the past, and I'm looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus has called us." See, we have an amazing call on our lives that, yes, we do take moments and we look back at all the good things that God has done, but then we also look forward to what we're expecting, what we're believing God to do in 2021 and beyond. And the first thing that I want to introduce to you is this. We noticed in this fall semester of U groups, our small groups that meet, it was amazing because there was, I think, 17 or 18 small groups where people would lead and pastor, but instead of 500, it was 5 in a living room. And hearts were really united. And people that were in groups, they weren't hopeless. They weren't fearful. They weren't lonely. They were really encouraged because they had one another to encourage one another. So I was so proud of our group leaders. So we thought this, if we want to believe God for more sheep, we have to train more shepherds. So 2021 is going to be the year of leadership development. We want our church to really do our very best to lead people well. People in this generation need leadership more than ever before. And I think it should be men and women full of the Spirit of the living God that are the leaders in our schools and in our workplaces and in our neighborhoods. So we want to help to develop you as leaders in everywhere you go. And we want you to lead groups so that you can continue to help us. It's kind of like painting a wall or working to set up, you know, Christmas and tear down Christmas like we did a few weeks ago. It's working on building people and helping people get stronger in their faith. So that's what we want to do through leadership development here inside of our church. But then there's another thing, another aspect that we want to introduce. We haven't talked about this publicly yet. So this is our introduction to introduce you to this. In October, Josie and I got away to pray for 2021, and we were pressing into the Lord and seeking God for what he wanted us to do, and before we looked forward, we were looking back over the last 10 years, and we were just so grateful to God for all that he did over the last few years, and I remember Josie had some worship music on, and she was on the other side of the room just worshiping, and I was sitting on the couch, and I was just thanking the Lord for all that he had done. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. And then I asked a terrible question. You should never ask God. I said, Lord, what can I do for you? And right away, I heard the word of the Lord speak to my heart. And he said, I want you to help train pastors to grow their churches. And I said, oh, okay, like what I'm doing for the PCG. See, about a year ago, the bishop of the PCG asked me to start traveling and helping to teach on leadership and church growth, because there's so many churches that are running 50, 60 people. In fact, like 80% of American churches are less than 100 people, and help teach pastors how to put some structure to their churches so that they can win more people to Jesus, make more disciples, and grow. Break 100 people, break 120, 150. So I've already been doing that for the last year. And I said, oh, so Lord, you want me to help to do what I've been doing? He said, no, I want you to do a whole new thing. So here's what we're going to do. Starting in 2021, under the umbrella of Uncommon Church, we've launched a new ministry called Kings and Priests. And Josie and Jeff and myself are going to go on tour. And we're going to teach and do pastors and leadership conferences for churches all across the country to help them to grow and to help them to develop. And we're so excited to be a part of that. So if there's some Friday afternoons that you hear that we're out of town, it's because we're training leaders all across the country, and we're so excited.
Yeah, and Kings and Priests, I just want to real quick explain where we got that name. Is Kings having to do with structure and wisdom and how to lead, but Priests being that the Holy Spirit can have freedom to move, and we don't have to do one or the other, and I believe really that that's what God wants to do through his church.
So leadership development, both in the house and around the country, that's what we're so excited for 2021 for. And specifically when it comes to U groups, small groups, if you look at, this is going to be an old picture of one of our very first groups. This was literally 9.5 years ago. This was like our first U group. I keep waiting for the picture to show
life
up,
group.
And it hasn't done it yet. Back
that's
then it
okay.
was called a life group.
So
there
it was in our backyard. I think Jeff might be in that picture. That was before he was helping with worship, and our kids and other people from our church community. Building community, building friendships, making sure that you are really spurring each other on in following Jesus is so key. So as we grow bigger, we want to grow smaller.
Next thing we want to focus on for the future is paying off this building. We're glad we have a loan, but here's the problem. When you borrow that much money, the interest is a killer. So if we can get this building paid down, if not off, it's really on my heart to do so, because we were looking at...
Paid off. Yes.
Paid off because I ran a report on how much money we spent on interest, and it made me nauseous. Like I texted the number to Josie and Jeff with like the vomit emoji, because this year alone we paid $100,000 in interest. Doesn't that now make you want to throw up?
Which is more than our budget was the first year that we pastored. And we believe that our money, we could do so much more for the kingdom if we weren't paying it to the bank. And truly, it was a miracle that we got this building, but we're believing God now for the miracle of paying it off. So in 2021, we're going to start a capital campaign and all that stuff to pay these buildings off so we don't have the monthly mortgage payment, and definitely so we're not spending that money on interest that could be going to missions or local outreach or whatever.
And, you know, we're believing God for more people to get born again. So we want to do the remodel where we can open up space for kids and families and do a better job. I mean, so our hearts are still really to reach the lost right here in our cities, to always make room for more people. But like we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes, it's not the Brad and Josie story. This is our story. I talked to a family after first service, and they've only joined our church like a month ago, but they're like, I love our story. Like they adopted it and made it their own, even though they just got here 10 minutes ago. So this is our story. And one of the key ways that we're going to make this our story for the future is through Dream Teams.
Yeah, if you saw the pictures, the one thing we have in common throughout all the years is that people just pitched in and did what they could, whether they were good at painting or building or doing setting up and tearing down and all those things. And now we have the structure that we call that dream teams. But really that is how together we make church and make Jesus famous. And so what I first want to do before we look forward is I want to thank the dream team, anybody that served in 2020. We didn't get to have our big Christmas party this year. And so if you've served on a team this year, would you please stand up? We're going to give you a big round of applause and just say thank you. Thank you for serving. Thank you for making church happen.
We couldn't do anything without our team. Thank you.
Joy, could you give me that ornament right there? So what we want to do as a thank you and just honoring you, your gift this year, because we usually give a gift at the Christmas party, is an Uncommon Church Christmas ornament. So because we changed the name of our church and we'd had a New Life ornament, but now you can hang an Uncommon ornament on your tree. They're on the table in the back right over there. So after service, if you've served, please go and see Pastor Josh and Lene back there, and they will give you one of these and some thank you cards. We're so grateful to you. And honestly, moving forward, you know, our dream teams are also our leaders. And so raising up more shepherds, more leaders is how we're going to continue to grow and do what God's called us to do.
You know, one problem with church growth is that there's a little bit more money to hire staff. And when I say
it's a good problem.
It's a good problem to have, because I'm so grateful for our staff. These men and women do an amazing job to lead our church, and they work so hard. But the bigger a church can get, people can get a very entitled mentality in the church. Like, well, I know there's this project, but the staff will do that. I know we're having a big Christmas outreach, but the staff will set it up and tear it down. I know we're doing this thing, but the staff will do it. Listen, that's not the culture of our church. We have a lean staff, and we don't pay them very well, honestly, compared to the market standard, and they work so hard. The only way that we're going to continue to grow and grow strong is that we continue to call this our church and that this is our story. It's not that what they're going to do for me. It's how can we grow this church and reach this community together.
Which is so awesome. And just an example of that is when we did Christmas decorations. Was it 3 Sundays ago? And we're like, hey, anybody that can help stay. Like practically the whole church stayed. And we got that big Christmas tree set up and all the lights in the trees, which we were driving on 183 coming from Dallas last night. And we could see that Christmas tree, the flagpole tree, from so far away. I mean, it's amazing. And so there's nothing we can't do together. So we just want to continue that culture of all of us serving.
All right, hop up on your feet, because I want to pray for you before we dismiss this service. Well, let me just say this. Looking back at buildings, man, that's great. Even looking at church growth and people being here, man, that's great. But I'm not moved by church buildings. I'm not moved by amazing worship. I'm not moved by technology. When you guys... And it happened in the same thing in first service. When you that gave your heart to Jesus in our church, either for the first time or you rededicated your life to the Lord, that's what moves me. That's the most important thing in the world to me. And now it's getting easier. But those first few years were very, very difficult. And the only reason we stayed and didn't leave is because the Lord spoke to us so dramatically, so prophetically, so clearly to come and pastor this church, that you're stuck with us because we're never going to leave until he speaks to us that clearly to leave, which means we're in this thing together going forward. And I'm so excited to see people saved and to see lives transformed and to see marriages healed and to see prodigals come home and to see people's bodies and minds and hearts touched by the power and presence of the Lord. So, man, I'm excited for what God is doing in our church and through all of us. And it means the world to me that you would partner with us in serving in a team, or you're giving in the offering, or praying on a Wednesday night. Man, I'm so, so very grateful that you would love our city and that you would love the lost with us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask for your richest blessing over our church. I thank you for what you've done in the last 10 years. We look back at these stones of remembrance, and we tell our children and our grandchildren, we tell new people to our church, people that are visiting for the first time today, we celebrate what you have done in the hearts and lives of so many hundreds and hundreds of people. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you. We bless you. We exalt you in your holy name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give it an opportunity. If there's anybody here this morning or anybody watching online that you need to be one of those ones that gets to stand up and say, I got right with God at that church. Maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've never asked him to forgive you of your sins. You've never surrendered to him and received that gift of eternal life. Maybe you've walked away from God. You might be like our friends. We mentioned Albert and Aaron. Albert's our men's pastor, that they grew up in church, but they just, life got in the way, and work and marriage and money got in the way, and their hearts grew cold, and they were out of church for many years. Maybe you've got dragged here today. You'd be like Dwayne, who would curse about God and about church. And you were really hard-hearted and hard-headed, never really surrendered your life to Jesus. But then you hear stories like this of how God transforms our lives, and you're like, crud, man, today's my day. I want to repent of my sin. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to be one of those ones that at our 20-year anniversary, I get to stand and say, look what the Lord has done in my life. So nobody's looking around but me, but if that's you and you want to pray that prayer, that's literally why we're here. That's why we do what we do, is for these moments like this to get to lead you in that prayer. So if you believe it in your heart that Jesus loves you and he came to Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, but then he took our sin to the cross and he defeated sickness and sin and death and hell and the grave, and he stands here today knocking on the door of your heart wanting you to repent so he can wash away your sin, and wanting you to put your faith in him so that he can call you child of the Most High God. If that's you here this morning, I'd like to lead you in that prayer. Now, this might be the first time you've ever prayed that prayer, or maybe the first time in a long time. But if that's you this morning, would you shoot your hand up real high and just say, I see your hand. I'd say, preacher, pray for me. Is anybody else? Just raise your hand up real high. Just say, I see your hand. Is there anybody else? Come on, somebody. Yay, God. Yay, God. What about you? What about you that are watching online? Your heart's beating out of your chest right now, and you're like, well, I'm happy for those people at the church that are raising their hand. Well, you can raise your hand right there in your apartment, right there in your bedroom. Just raise your hand before God and say, Lord, I believe, and today's my day to get right with you. For the sake of those that are watching online and for the two hands that I saw go up today, can we pray this prayer all together? Like, if you believe it in your heart, pray this out loud with me. Say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I repent. I surrender my life to you. Be the Lord of my life. I receive the gift of eternal life. Help me, Lord, to be a disciple, to walk with you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in my life, in my church, and in my city. In Jesus' name. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. A couple things I want to do. I want to pray for you. So we're going to have our prayer team come down to the front, and we're going to pray for everybody that needs prayer. If you're watching right now online and you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, man, I want us to pray for you as well. So would you text the name Jesus, just that word, Jesus, to 817-405-2244, and you're going to get an auto response text back with a form. Fill out that form and click submit, because right away I want one of our pastors to begin to pray for you. We want to encourage you in your walk with God. If you are one of the ones that are